And welcome to the Giants facility here in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm Paul Dottino, along with Jeff Fiegels. Glad you could join us for the next hour as we take your phone calls and your Twitter questions to talk New York Giants football. We'll be here till 1 in the afternoon, and it's 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Don't forget, it's brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination at DraftKings. You can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. In just a minute or two, we'll have Eric Kennedy of Big Blue Interactive, a very popular message board and website, Jeff. These folks have been fanatic about the Giants for many, many years. He's got quite a following. So we'll get the pulse of the fans and find out a little bit about what's trending amongst Giants fans who are looking forward to the season.
Well, there's probably a lot trending. We'll find out what kind of fans, other than our Big Blue Kickoff, are trending on whatever topics. We're going to cover them. Be happy to talk about all of them. So a lot of questions the fans want to know coming into training camp. And, you know, not a lot going on at the facility other than the rookies are still around here, which they should be. All the veteran guys are back home relaxing a little bit and getting ready to their frame of mind is now July 28th. It's when they're going to tee it up for real and come in and try to earn a job. And there's going to be a lot of guys trying to earn jobs. Because that 53-man roster this year is going to be interesting, and you can try to, you know, go through it. And I think that you and I, we always do. We try to figure out who's going to be on that roster. There's always that one guy that makes it. We don't think he's going to, and there's always the one guy who we think is going to make it that doesn't. So a lot of things that can go on between now and then.
Today is the final day of the rookie transition here with the Giants. The veterans, they already left at the end of last week, but the rookies have stuck around. They've had to go through some classes. We will talk about that in a little bit, but right now we get the pulse of the fans, the voice of the fans at Big Blue Interactive, and Eric Kennedy joins us on the line. Eric, Paul Dottino and Jeff Fiegels with you on BBKL. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Great to be with you.
Hey, Eric, so now we're counting it down. It's about 5 weeks till training camp opens. And, you know, we have fielded how many millions and millions, it seems like, of Twitter questions and phone calls.
We've been beating the dead horse. It's the same thing all the time. What's the line going to do?
But what are you catching on your message boards that maybe is a little bit off the beaten path? You know, it's not necessarily right tackle conversation, or it's not Victor Cruz conversation, because I got to be honest, we've heard that out of the wazoo for the last how many months?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously you guys hit the nail on the head with the, you know, where the fans mostly are concerned, and we've heard the same thing. It's the offensive line, the right side of the offensive line. It's Victor Cruz, and then on the defensive side of the ball, you wonder how all these, you know, on paper it looks great or it looks much improved, and you wonder how it's all going to come together. You know, I think from, if you're talking about maybe less known or discussed issues that might be out there that some people have brought up, there are concerns not just about who's starting on the offensive line, but there are concerns about offensive line depth in case somebody does some, you know, God forbid something happens with an injury there. There's always that concern with depth. I think there's a lot of interest on what's going to happen at tight end. It looks like they've got some interesting bodies there to work with. And, you know, I think one of the players that hasn't been discussed a lot, which was a nice story last year, was Will Tye. Now, Will Tye sort of came out of nowhere and, you know, it was a bad season, but he was a nice story. Does he build upon that? Does Larry Donnell come back from an injury-plagued season and sort of build upon the season before that? Then, of course, they draft Darrell Adams, and they even Malik, who they brought in as an undrafted free agent, so you've got some bodies there. There's a bunch of bodies at running back, so there's been a lot of discussion about what's going to happen at running back. But, you know, the primary discussions have been what you've talked about. There's a lot of concern about what's going on the offensive line starters. And the entire complexion of the offense changes depending on the health status of Victor Cruz.
Sure.
And whether he's the same player or not. So those are really have been, you know, where a lot of the discussion has been. And then the other thing, too, there's been so much that's happened in the last year with the coaching staff, with the assistant coaching staff turnover, even the last 2 years, it's kind of interesting if you look at what's happened with the Giants. They've really have reshaped their entire coaching staff, but they didn't do it all at once. They, you know, there have been a lot of assistant coaching switchovers, changeovers here. And, you know, the big question that a lot of people still really aren't talking about is Ben McAdoo. What impact, what kind of head coach is he going to be? A lot of people are optimistic, but you just never know.
Yeah, you know what? We talked a little bit about that because we got tired of talking about all the issues that you just mentioned. And you're right. Nobody has really kind of discussed about one, and we're never going to know this until the first game of the season. What role is he going to play offensively? Is he going to be calling the plays? That's kind of a question everybody's wanting to
sure.
know. The other thing is that, you know, what is he doing to reshape this team? We've seen a little bit in the building as far as what they've done from a weightlifting standpoint by changing out the weight room, hiring a new weight coach, what they're doing at practice. They're playing music at practice now, which is something very new to this building. But it's not new to the younger kids coming into the NFL because, you know, I've been on the recruiting trips with my son as of late. I've gone to some spring games. They're all playing music. So it's kind of one of these things where these guys, you know, they're used to it. The rookies, they're
here. Are you saying we're old?
I'm saying we're old. But I'm just telling you, but I feel like.
But Jeff, you know. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, you know. You have to listen to the younger players when you're a head coach, a new head coach, because you know what? You're not a Tom Coughlin that's been around this game forever, and we all know how he changed a little over the years. But Ben McAdoo, this is his first go here. So he's listening to these guys. He's listening to some of the ideas that they have, the older players, younger players. But I feel like he is trying to change. It's his team now, and it's tough to replace Tom Coughlin, but he's doing a nice job in the building. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eric. What were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I think, you know, Jeff, you know better than anybody else because you're a player. What's really going to come down to is this. Is in every season, there are crisis moments. There are moments where you lose a game or a few games in a row and doubt creeps in and the players are going to look to the head coach.
Yep.
And, you know, he's going to have to lead that team. Tom Coughlin had a lot of, you know, he had a lot of history behind him of success that carried a great deal with these players. We're talking about a young guy here. Now, he seems to be saying and doing the right things, and I'm always an optimistic guy. Heck, I remember when they even switched from Parcells to Ray Hanley. I thought, oh, maybe this will work out. So I'm an optimist about these types
yeah,
of things.
Yeah, true optimist
but
then.
the proof is in the pudding, and there's going to come these moments in the season where he's going to have to command that locker room, and the players are going to have to trust him. And it's going to be interesting to watch because you see a lot of, you know, he seems to be well-respected around the league. There was a lot of interest in him. You know, there were comparisons to a young Andy Reid, that type of thing. But you just never know. So I think one of the most interesting things about this team is, yeah, you have a lot of new players. Eli Manning still seems to be playing at the top of his game. You've got Odell. You've got Sterling Shepard here. Victor Cruz is coming back. You have this revamped defense. But I think sort of lost in all of this has been Ben McAdoo and his coaching staff that he has now underneath him. And I think that's going to be interesting to watch because there's a whole generation of Giants fans out there now. We're all old guys, but there's a whole generation of Giants fans out there that have grown up with Tom Coughlin being the head coach of this team.
You're right.
And this is new to them.
They don't remember Parcells.
They're not used to this.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, the one thing that you had mentioned about, you know, a new regime, if you will, and when there's a crisis during the football season, we saw it last year, four times losing games the way they did. Five times, excuse me. But, you know, aside from them coming to look for the coach and getting answers from the coach, you know, when you're a new coach, you want to try to find new leaders. And I think that that's something he's done. He's gone out and tried to, you know, free agency, brought in these guys. He's looking at some of the rookies that are even taking some leadership roles. That is important when you have crisis within the locker room. And I can tell you from experience that it's not always easiest to go to the coaches. You want to go to the players first because you trust them. It's kind of that little network you have down in the engine room, as we called it, that you can trust the people within. And I think that Ben McAdoo, one of his, you know, check the box was that let's go out and get some guys that not only can play, but can be leaders on this team because we have a young roster. We got a lot of new players, and these guys are going to have to be able to go to an older veteran, not so much older, but somebody that's been in the league. And that's quite important in the locker room, especially with a new team.
Hey, Eric, let me ask you something because you were talking about the new coach. Sure. I want to ask you about new players. We've had this little debate amongst the announcers about the newcomers, the rookies and the veteran free agents. Who's the fan fave going to be? Will it be Jenkins because he's very flashy and he likes to chatter and he's a really kind of fun guy? Will it be Snacks Harrison, who's got a cool nickname and is going to do a great job stuffing the run? And if he stops a third and one and fourth and one, are people going to go nuts for this guy? Could it be Vernon?
I don't think this is a very difficult question.
No, I do, because we've had debate about this.
Really?
We've had debate. Well, not you, but the rest of us announcers have. Could it be Sterling Shepard, who's going to be very electric in the passing game?
Well, there's the answer that you may like and Jeff might not like. And the early signs of the proof is going to be in the pudding. Ultimately, how the player performs on the field is going to depend on how the fans feel about the guy. I mean, because fans are fickle, and you guys know that. The guy it plays well. Everyone loves the guy. If he doesn't, he's a bum. But I hate to say, but this is the new age we're in. Damon Harrison Snacks is a bit of a Twitter star. People like Damon Harrison right now because of the things he tweets out and says. That's the way this game, it's not even the game really. It's I don't know if you call it PR or just the way that players interact now on social media with people.
It's 2016.
But he's got quite a following right now because of the things he tweets out and says and the way he handles himself in press conferences and all that. Now, if Damon Harrison goes out there and the Redskins and the Cowboys are running up the gut on the Giants and he's not stopping the run, that love fest will end pretty
That's not going to work.
So I think it's tough to tell because I will say this about Giants fans. I think we're a pretty savvy group, and I think they know the OTAs. You can only take so much out of the OTAs and the mini camps. So we haven't gotten any readout on Vernon. We haven't gotten any readout on Harrison. The line play, the linebackers, you just can't get a readout on these guys, and everybody knows that. So all we're hearing right now are really the 7-on-7 drills. So you hear things like Eli Apple making a play, or you see Jenkins making a play and that type of thing, or somebody on the wide receivers making a play. And the fans know that's exciting and all that, but that it's not the real live bullets. So it's a bit early. I think people are excited about a lot of these parts, but there's been so much change. They can't even really focus on one thing. So I think everybody's got their favorite. I'll tell you the one thing that everyone just holds their breath now with it, because of the history of this team, is they just they're afraid to look each morning to see if there was an injury. So
they should.
We were just talking in the lunchroom, Eric.
Something in the mini camp, that's the big thing.
We were just talking in the lunchroom. It's healthy. The team's healthy
at this point.
Yeah, the team's healthy right now, Eric. We were just talking about that earlier. It's like the first time we can remember, even in the off season, that this team is healthy.
Yeah.
So who are you?
Knock on wood.
I'm with you. It's okay.
Remember last year, it was a fireworks and Will Beattie was lifting weights in the offseason.
Knock
on wood.
Don't bring up those things. Yeah. But you said Snacks. You said Snacks is the front runner because of Twitter, and that's a great point. So Jeff, who did you think the new fan fave is going to be?
The guy that drove the truck out of the parking lot, full of money.
Vernon.
You kidding me?
That's all right. But he's not very flashy.
No, but
he's a heck of a player, but he's not a guy who's demanding the spotlight.
But I guess this should have been maybe classified as a different question because when I look at who the fan is going to like, I want to see what he's doing on the field. I don't care about Twitter and all the other stuff, but that's me.
Exactly.
I'm 50 years old. I have a Twitter account. It doesn't have many
followers.
That's
why this is a great question.
I know. Okay, but I can handle that. I can handle that. But when it comes to X's and O's and who's the guy that I think it's going to be OV, I think this guy is going to just re-energize that defensive line. Something that the Giants fans have been missing is those hits on the quarterback, turnovers, strip. I mean, the days of OC Uemura, all those, it's coming back. And Snacks is going to be a part of that, by the way. I mean, yeah, he's a great run stopper, but the guy can get after the quarterback, too, with a little bit of pressure inside. So I'm excited. You know, Eric, one of the questions that was proposed to us a couple weeks ago, a fan asked me, you know, what position battle are you most intrigued about? And I'm not going to give you the homer, like the general one where it's safety, it's this or that. To me, it's the running back position, because this Paul Perkins kid, I feel like he's a good player. I know he's going to be a lot on special teams, but you got Orleans Darkwell, who's probably one of the best special teams players on the team. Okay,
coming off a spring leg injury.
Okay, but it seems like everybody's coming off.
He's the only one, I think. Well, they got a couple little nicks, but
it's a long ways to go. But I'm
and
just
they're not
you,
big ones.
But I feel like Williams is in a prove it year. We know about Vereen and we know about Jennings, but I feel like that running back position, and you got Bobby Rainey, who by the way, Mike Sullivan loves this guy. Yeah. You know, he came from Tampa with him. So that, to me, is kind of an intriguing position battle. I know that the safety is going to be one. What are the callers, or not the callers, but your fans, do they think about the running back position, or do they even talk about that?
No, we're in the same boat as you guys. It's it's a slow time period, so every single position is being analyzed.
Exactly.
Running backs. We've had threads today. I mean, there was an article today, and one I think it was NJ.com on Darkwell, and so that sparked a whole debate on what's going on at running back. And I agree with you, Jeff. I think that's a fascinating. I think with building upon that, what's fascinating is this: is with McAdoo coming in. What type of and the new offensive line coach? That's one of the big additions to this team.
Mike Solari.
They talked about Solari. Is what is that impact of those of Ben McAdoo being the head coach, the new offensive line coach? Is are we going to see a different type of running game? Are we going to see a commitment? More or less of a commitment to the run. We know McAdoo likes the West Coast offense and the short passing game. But even if you sort of read between the lines of some of the comments from Andre Williams a couple of years ago and some of the players, there seemed to be some confusion in terms of what style of running blocking scheme the Giants really had. They didn't seem to be committed to one single type of blocking scheme. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but you saw comments from players like that. And so it's going to be interesting to see on day one, how run-oriented is this offense, and does Ben McAdoo have a different philosophy with feeding a ball carrier the ball than Tom Coughlin did? We all know that Tom Coughlin liked to use multiple running backs and put people in there, sometimes alternating them by series, that type of thing. Is he going to have a bell cow? Vereen's going to get his touches because that he fits that offense. Perkins looks amazing. If you look at the highlights, it's too bad that they had that idiotic rule in the NFL where he couldn't have participated in the OTAs, and he's in that situation where he's behind everybody else.
It's called school, by the way.
Then,
yes.
Andre Williams losing all this weight and supposedly in top shape and all that. So it's really going to be interesting to see, I think.
It's good stuff. Eric Kennedy from Big Blue Interactive, we appreciate your time today. Keep up the good work with the message board, and we will
get back to
you again during the course of the summer. Stay well.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay,
thanks.
Have a good one.
Some good perceptions, and I think it's important to note that, Jeff and I are old school guys, so his ID of Snacks Harrison being the fan favorite or coming in, it really does speak to the change in the fan psyche and the change in our society.
And the change in the game.
It really does.
And, when you talk about the game itself, there is an evolution of it. We know that. But there's a bigger evolution from the side of, the digitized side of football, how everything is on, everything is online now. You got Twitter. So, we have to look at that. And us older guys have to look at that, is because that's how the game is being grown, through that kind of popularity. And guys like us have to understand that when a question is proposed in that way, we have to answer, I guess it's right. I guess you're right. If there's a guy that's on Twitter and people love him, he's going to be popular.
And
you have to get on Twitter and be more popular.
I'm doing okay. I've gotten almost 27,000.
I don't know where.
I'm doing okay.
People get the time.
Eli Apple's mom, who's a superstar on Twitter.
Well, you know what? You know why people like her is because she's honest and she's truthful, and the fact that she just comes and she's got good insight. You know, and how that's going to fly with her son, you know, playing the game, I think she'll be fine. You know,
all right. So. Good stuff. Let's go to the phone calls, 201-939-4513. We will talk to you about Giants football till the top of the hour here. Paul Dottino along with Jeff Feagles. Also want to talk about the rookie orientation. Want to get some of your thoughts on that, Jeff. But we do have a couple of people on hold.
All right.
They've been waiting for a while. So let's go to Christian from Trenton. You're first on the show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff? How you doing, Paul?
Great, Christian. Thanks for calling in.
Jeff, one thing I want to commend you and thank you for everything you've done for the New York Giants. I haven't been able to do that.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
You're welcome. And, Paul, you know, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. And real quick, I want to put my bold prediction up on the Hall of Fame, I would guess. You guys have over there?
Yeah, we got the wall. We got the wall. I don't know if it's so much a wall of fame.
I'm going to be fair.
Okay.
I see 3-3 in a division. I like to do that always, you know.
All right.
I would say 500 in a division.
Okay.
And a 10-6 record with a playoff run.
With a run. Now, what would be constituted as the run? Is that a winning?
A playoff run? I mean, look. When Eli hits the playoffs, you know we go. Like, in 2012, we were considered the best, you know, team in the league, and then Plex shot himself and went down the drain. But, hey, look, you know, things happen.
Yeah, that was so, not 2012, but that was 2008, I believe.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
That was a better team than 2007.
We were, no question. No, when you were running the football averaging 200 yards a game.
Whoa.
Okay, sorry about that.
It was a shocker. You know, we were doing so good. We had, 10-0? We were 10-0 that season.
I think we were 11-0,
and then we lost.
11-1,
right?
I remember.
11-1.
And then, boom.
And then it all went to whatever. Yeah. All right, Christian, let's not talk about that. What do you got about this year's team?
Talk about the receiving corps.
Yeah.
Now, people, you know, I do believe that Victor Cruz is going to come back and even be 80% of himself this year. A lot of people are doubting him, but I really do think that he's okay. But the main part that people don't understand is if your team is not gelling, it's not so much of the fact of you have the talent around the team. Your team's got to gel together. Now, we all know that we've never had the best defensive backs in the league. You know, it was always that pass rush that helped us out, that helped, you know, the defensive backs out. But I think this year, that's another thing I wanted to say with the D-backs. We've had, I think this year we have probably the most talented defensive backs since what? 2007, we had Sam Addison and Corey Webster and Aaron Ross came in as a rookie.
Yeah.
Would you guys agree with that?
Well, you know, there's more potential here in that you've got the young Landon Collins. You've got,
right.
You know, the young Eli Apple, obviously. You've got Jenkins, who's in the prime of his career. You've got Darian Thompson, who they think could be the front runner as the starter at free safety. So in terms of youth and upside, you probably have more because that secondary, while very talented, was older, a lot older.
Yeah, and I think, and you know, there's a lot of experience in this group where, you know, yeah, you had Sam Madison, who obviously was in you know, later in his career, but had the experience. You got R.W. McCorders that was there that helped. You know, he played a lot of the nickel. So, yeah, I think I probably agree with you there. Yeah, but you know what? Again, until that first game, then we're never going to know that.
No.
So.
Right. And another thing, I see a lot of free agents out there. I know some big names. I understand they're getting older, like Roddy White, you know, Anquan Boldin. But I know we're pretty much – I wouldn't say we're set because we still have to wait on Victor Cruz. But I don't think it would hurt to bring a guy like Anquan Boldin in who still had a 1,000-yard season last year and just got released from the 49ers.
Well, you look what the team did last year. Remember what happened last year, who they brought in from the Packers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jamie Jones, and then he went back to Green Bay and had a decent season with them, and then they just let him go again.
You know, though, I will tell you this, and, you know, Jeff, you're right. Proof's in the pudding, and we're going to have to see. But right now, as it stands today, there's a tremendous competition right up and down the depth chart at wide receiver, even for the 5th and 6th spots. They got real guys who they believe are going to battle for those spots. These are not placeholders. These are not guys who are going to be on there by default. I mean, you look at the top three.
Well, you have four. The top four.
Right?
There's four there.
well, your top three plus Harris, your special team, who's your four. Now, on top of that, you look at a guy like Miles White, who's a holdover, who they like very, very much. You have Jeremy Davis from UConn last year, who they still think is a legitimate prospect. You got guys like Roger Lewis, the rookie out of Bowling Green. You got Anthony Doble, the kid who came over from Europe. I mean, there are players here.
I think he played in France, correct?
Yeah. There are a lot of players here. So my point to you is this: you're talking about maybe 8 or 9 guys fighting for probably 6 spots. For me to bring in a guy like Bolden, who's on his last legs, I don't know that helps my situation. In fact, it may hurt the development of some of those young guys trying to win a spot.
Right. I've just seen him as a veteran and maybe like a leader for that wide receiving core. I see Beckham coming and taking that leader role, and I think he's going to be good. Where if Cruz comes back, he'll definitely be the leader of the team, regardless of who's one and who's two. I think Cruz will be the leader of the receiving core.
Hi, Christian.
Core,
we got to run. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
You know, the other thing, there is enough leadership at that position. You know, Harris is a veteran. That guy leads by example.
He's tough.
I'm tough, dude.
Oh,
he doesn't miss games. Okay, so, you know, really in my mind, those two spots are going to be between Jeremy Davis and the other guy. I think, you know, Jeremy Davis has to come out and play better than he did last year at the receiving position. He played a lot of special teams. Didn't do that at UConn because he was the man. But, you know, and I think he has transitioned now and understanding from a rookie's perspective when he came in last year. He just wasn't sure. You know, I got to play special teams. All these rookies better go to this player transition rookie thing.
We'll go to that in 1 minute.
But I should go in there and tell every one of them. I'm not here to tell you about transition. I'm here to tell you about you are going to play special teams. That's where you're going to make the team. See you later.
I'm glad you mentioned Davis, though, because the caller mentioned Bolden. The truth of the matter is, if you want that tough guy who's physical, who can deal with the short to medium range passes, run the routes well, has glue for hands, he's that guy.
Sure.
Jeremy Davis fits that style of receiver. Now, obviously, he's not Anquell Bolden.
No, but we can't compare the two, but we can compare the position.
But he fits that style.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Listen, it's very tough to make it in the NFL from a receiving standpoint, so he's just going to continue to get better, okay? You know, he was in a program at UConn that, you know, granted, it was not the best in the world, but he has now come into the NFL. He's got a year under his belt. He stayed fairly healthy. The only question I had at the end of the season, why wasn't he playing – you know, over a Miles White and those other guys. So that's going to all be taken care of in training camp. And I feel like he's come out of spring practices doing well, kind of what they expected, and he's going to compete for that 5th and 6th position because they're not carrying more than that.
No, 6 is as many as they possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, it may even go to 5 depending on the health of Victor Cruz, but, you know, we'll see what happens there.
Okay, Brandon, you're next on Big Blue
Hey,
Kickoff
Brandon.
Live. Hello.
Hey, fellas, how we doing? Want to make a couple comments about our 53 roster, a couple positional groups. I really want Whitlock to stay on this team. I think he's actually better on special teams than a Herzlick or a Casillas or even a JT Thomas. And I wanted to categorize him as a 9th defensive lineman, him bringing pass rush. And then also I think Hankins is going to be a much better pass rusher as well. So I'm not worried about that. And then also, I wanted to carry 5 wide receivers because I feel like that you still have Vereen that can play receiver, and then you have Roger Lewis on the practice squad, and he's safe there not to be picked up. As far as the running backs, I think if Dark was healthy, I think we have to carry these 5 running backs. And then as far as tight ends, I think we have to carry 4 of these guys because if you put Adams or Lacoste on the practice squad, I think they're going to get picked up if healthy. So seeing it, want to get opinion on that. And then my one question to you is if a player, tight end, if an NFL team thinks like his only strength is really to go up and get the ball in the end zone, and he's going to be having around 8 to 10 snaps a game, so just being that red zone threat, and, you know, can't play special teams, that kind of stuff, do they keep a guy like that just for that specific reasons, or do they look more for we need diversity, we need him to play special teams and that kind of stuff?
All right, let's go through each one of these for you. Just hang on your computer. We're going to let you go, and we're going to have Jeff go through each one of these things. First of all, he went through four different positions that he wanted to keep certain allotments at. Mm-hmm. So let's address the first thing he talked about, Whitlock as a fullback slash ninth defensive lineman. He was trying to count him as a D lineman. I personally believe the defensive line has enough of legitimate D line prospects right now where I don't think they have to reach and move him to the D line. Your thoughts?
No, my thought is, I agree with you. My thought is that it's just like anything in the NFL, the more you can do, the better off you are. So that's kind of a feather in the Giants' cap, knowing that he could fill in if there's an injury somewhere in there. But he's also very good at special teams. Segue from the D-line to the running back position.
He wanted to keep five running backs.
Okay, so.
With Darkwa.
With Darkwa.
And that doesn't even count Rainey.
I think there's going to be four there, okay? And the fifth one is going to be that Will Johnson, Whitlock guy, again, that he can play in the backfield. I don't think they're going to keep five running backs. Again, it depends on special teams. You know, where can these guys fit in on special teams? If you go back to the linebacking crew, that's usually where they try to keep some of these guys on the roster, like Herzlick, you know, or JT Toms, guys that can play core special teams. That position right there might be one where they say, you know what, maybe we'll keep an extra running back and not an extra linebacker because he's better on special teams.
Okay, now you mentioned Will Johnson. He would be in that tight end mix. He wants to keep four tight ends. Obviously, Will Johnson can play H-back, fullback, and tight end.
Yeah, but, you know, where does Whitlock come in, you know?
I don't know that he makes the team.
Yeah, I don't
either. It's going to be hard.
I think if they keep four tight ends, one being Will Johnson – then
they got plenty of tight end prospects right now.
Yeah. Well, I think that
Ty and Donnell and Malik and Lacoste
and Adams. Yeah, draft pick. So you know he may be the odd man out just because he's a late round draft pick. But you know these tight end positions. The answer to your other question is: will they keep a guy that can only play eight plays a game? No way. There's absolutely no way. You can't. You can't afford that luxury. So. Unless the guy is the best red zone or green zones, if you will, tight end in the game that only plays in there, well, he's not. So the answer to the question there is no, they won't keep him just for that.
And then he mentioned five wide receivers. You know, Jeff, we just rattled off, I think, nine names of candidates who seem to bring something to the table. How are you going to trim it down to five? That's hard. Well, I like six.
I think you go with six there. I do because, you know what, receivers get hurt. They, you know, their hamstrings here, they tweak this, they tweak that. So there's always that receiver that's going to be inactive every week, that's going to practice, and then they can activate him if somebody, you know, pulls a hamstring or something like that. So these guys run a lot, man. Those wide receivers, they put some serious miles on.
Yeah, that's
those
for
tires.
Sure.
They really do.
Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play it off as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Arthur, AJ, Rayvon, we'll get to you in just a second. I did want to touch on this one piece of paper here that Jeff showed you before. It's about the NFL's rookie transition program. We mentioned for you at the top of the show that the veterans already left at the end of last week. Minicamp was officially over for them, but the rookies stayed around through the weekend and through today. Today is now their last day officially of the rookie transition plan that the teams and the leagues have set up to help these youngsters adapt to becoming professional football players. Now, today, the Giants rookies met with Carl Banks. He had a very nice sit-down with them in the theater. He gave them a whole speech about what it is to be a pro and how you have to make that transition. Later on today, they'll be talking to people from the league that will talk about some of the rules changes that they may don't know from the NCAAs, because there is a difference in some of these rules. For example, what's a catch?
they might be here until training camp trying to figure that one out.
And then later on tonight, the Jets rookies are coming up to the Giants facility, and some veteran Giants and Jets players will then talk to them collectively to kind of answer their questions about what it is to be an NFL player. And so, you know, Jeff, I'll be honest. I you should be in there talking to them instead of talking to me because, right. Heck, you were in this league 24 years, and you know everything there is to know about transition.
Well, it would take me probably about 10 minutes to give my point of view on this. And it's very simple. And it's, you know, I have older kids. I have older boys. They play football in college. It all comes down to this. You have, number one, the NFL is a job. You now have to take it as a job, okay? You're getting paid. The other thing is just you have to do the right thing. Now, I know that they're, you know, that's what they talk about in all of this transition program is do the right thing. But bottom line is that if you want to be good at your craft, you have to do things that the other people aren't. And that's either working harder in the classroom, doing things outside of this building to improve your skill, and hanging around with the right people and making the right choices. I mean, that sounds like something you'd see on TV. It's basically what they're going to tell them here. The problem is that not everybody listens. That's the problem, okay? There's guys that are going to be sitting in that room, probably falling asleep, probably dozing off because they don't want to hear it because they've been hearing it for the last 5 years of their life when they're in college. But you see, just like today, there was a reporter. I was listening on ESPN. These guys from, was it Alabama? They got busted for – Or I think, yeah, Oklahoma or Alabama, another college kid's in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, you got marijuana, they got guns in the cars. Seriously?
What are you doing?
Seriously, okay? So I'm just – these guys, when they get here, have to understand that you can have a very lucrative career in the National Football League as long as you keep your head on the right place and you do the right things and really understand that you, when you leave this building or any other one in the National Football League, the money that you're making here, you will never make this again unless you're like a Harvard grad and you can go invent something. But I'm just telling you right now, take advantage of it. I took advantage of it for 22 years. But you know what? I did the right things. I did everything that I just told you. I stayed out of trouble, and I did a lot of things outside this building that improved what I did on the field. And that's what these guys have to understand.
And now he hangs out with me.
And now I hang out with these guys.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a great thing. It's a great thing. So,
but, okay, good stuff.
Yeah. Listen, I found what I do now on Big Blue Kickoff and the pregame and stuff a lot harder than what I did when I was playing football because football came easy to me, you know, and it was something that I – not that I don't enjoy this, but I'm just saying I felt very, very confident what I was doing on the field, and I felt like I was the best out there anyway. So that's the kind of attitude you have to have when you're in the National Football League. All right, so enough of that. These guys are here. It's something that the league – I think they're changing. Usually they go to the symposium,
right,
where all the people, all the rookies go to one place. I believe that David Tyree told me that they're doing this now at the facilities.
Correct.
And so now that they're here in the building, it's going to be nice for those Jets players to come up and see a real facility. They can come in here today. And that way they can understand that's why we win championships around here, right? So anyways.
Very good. He's Jeff Fiegels, by the way. I just want to make that very clear. Jeff Fiegels. Okay. 201-939-4513 is the number here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Arthur from North Carolina, you are next on the show on line two. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good to talk to you.
Good. I just want to appreciate – I'm actually born and raised from New Jersey.
Nice.
I do appreciate you guys giving me all this information every day. I do appreciate all the commentators. You guys doing
Thank
a great
you.
Job every day.
Appreciate it. We're trying.
Thank you so much.
My question – well, I got a couple comments if I can. It's based on the offensive line. It's – like I said, I listen every day, and this call is mainly for he's a spoiler main, Charlie.
Oh, yeah, we know Charlie.
We know him.
Well, what's happened here, I think he I don't know where he's getting this information from because he's always talking about Pro Football Focus and all this stuff. If he really thinks that Flowers and Newhouse are the worst tackles in the league, I don't know what he's thinking about because that's crazy.
I wouldn't doubt if Charlie's dialing the Big Blue Kickoff number right as we speak.
And you know what? I'm just going to be fair for 1 second. To be able to grade an offensive lineman is very hard to do, okay? Very difficult to do. And the truth of the matter is, for fans to be fed these analytics numbers, in some ways, it's fool's gold because the analytics numbers don't tell the whole story. For example, and I'm not making excuses for the player, but Eric Flowers had a badly sprained ankle the first month of the season last year, and it continued to aggravate itself week after week after week. That's why he got called for as many penalties as he did. That's also why he gave up as many pressures as he did. As the season went on, his play kind of deteriorated the last third of the season. He also hit the rookie wall. There are things you must take into account. You can't just look at the analytics and believe that that's what the player is. There are many other factors involved. But unfortunately, the fans may not have the opportunity or the wherewithal to dig past the numbers. So in his defense, if that's all he's got to go by, the numbers, and those numbers say the player wasn't any good, that's what he's going to go with. You have to understand that. That's why we're here. We're here to try to explain stuff to you so that you have a better idea and a fuller picture of what you're talking about.
Yes, sir. That's why you got the eye test. You got to watch film. Because another thing, too, is this year, if we stay with the same five, they're going to be so much better because the players that we've gotten on the defensive line are 100 times better than what we had last year. So they're going to get better when practice. Flowers is going to get better going against JPP. Newhouse is going to go get better against OB. So this is going to get better 110%. All.
Well, I appreciate the call, and I will tell you that's the hope, that at the very least the Giants improve, even if they don't bring anybody else in from the outside. One of the things that the offensive linemen have been talking about us, Jeff, during the offseason is that continuity itself.
Yeah,
trying to keep
the
same five.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, will help.
Yep, and that and the more that those guys line up next to each other and practice that way and go into preseason, they get another year under their belt, the starting five, the better off they're going to be. And any offensive lineman will tell you that, that, you know, they understand everybody's tendencies. They can communicate without speaking because they know their mannerisms. They just know how they're going to react in certain situations on run plays and pass protection. So, you know, the more those guys are along each other and play with each other, they are going to be better off in the long run.
And let's not forget the addition of Will Johnson as a very powerful blocking tight end, which the Giants have not had one of those in a long time. That will help the O-line and the running game as well, just because of his presence and what he brings to the table, even if they don't change the offensive line lineup. A couple of quick Twitter questions, Jeff. I want to go thumbnail. Give me like 10 seconds on each of these because I want to run them right through. A.J. Marshall, do you think Sterling Shepard will have the most production of this year's wide receiver draft class in the NFL?
Yes.
Okay, that was quick. We have Dean Mayers, who says, do you see more running backs making the final 53 or more cornerbacks? Corners, running backs. How many do you keep of each of them?
I think that's a good question, and it continues, you know, what I'm saying about this running back position. I think by numbers, I think that the cornerbacks, there'll be more cornerbacks just because you need more corners than you need running backs.
I'm with you on that one. I'm not sure about Shepard. I'm going to say no on that one. I think he'll have great numbers, but I don't think he'll be the number one guy in the class. But I'm going to go corners. We have Ben Koivu, says, fan of Jeremy Davis, a beast at UConn.
Yes, he was.
Hand strong, size production. He has Davis and Roger Lewis, the rookie from Bowling Green, being receivers 5 and 6.
I would not question that at all. I think those are good choices. I think that Jeremy Davis has done enough in the spring to warrant him moving up that depth chart. He's a draft pick. I think he makes the team, and I think I'll go with him. I'll go with that.
Yeah. They're not bad picks for sure.
No, they're not.
We have is it Elo H says supposedly Eugene Monroe, the free agent off of his cutting from the Ravens, has already turned down the Giants. Is he still in play? The bottom line is he hasn't signed with anybody.
So he would still be in play.
Correct. Still an active free agent out there on the street.
Yep.
We have Will says, keeping an eye on Roger Lewis. Heard experts had him as a third rounder, but off the field stuff sounds like when Bradshaw went to the Giants, he was a seventh round pick. Remember that?
Yep. Listen, again, this rookie transition, you know, these are off-the-field problems. You're hoping that there's a nice, clean slate for these guys. The line has been drawn in the sand. You know, once they get into the National Football League, hopefully they can learn through this transition programs and, the you know, everything that the league does to try to help these guys. Because if they do, then and they make an NFL roster, they can only improve their life going forward. And if this young guy can do that, he's got a chance to make this team.
One other comment, A.J. Marshall does come back and hit us a second time on Twitter, says Nikita Whitlock has to stay on the team as a pass rush specialist. I think we discussed the Giants have added some defensive line prospects. I don't know that Whitlock fits there anymore.
Well, I think you saw Whitlock last year in just a desperate attempt to try to do something to get some pressure on that quarterback last year. I don't think you're going to need him this year at that position because of what you just said, but they could use him on special teams, and they could definitely use him in the backfield. So, you know, I don't think you're going to see him at a rushing specialist when you got some other guys in there.
Yeah, Will has a question here. He just chimes in again off the comment about Flowers, and I think it's worth mentioning because I want to clarify this. He says, Pro Football Focus admitted that Flowers had an injury, then say he will have a worse season this year when being healthy. That makes no sense to me at all.
Well, he said what?
Yeah, the Will says what with a big capital letters and a question mark. Will, I'm with you 100%. I don't know where that logic is coming from.
That isn't even logic. That's stupidity.
It's twisted is what it is.
It's like, okay, so I played hurt, and now I'm healthy. I'm going to play worse.
By the way, I've got a year of experience under my belt.
Whatever. That just goes to show you, stop reading that stuff.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's go back to the phones. We still have some time left till we get to the top of the hour. I believe line four has AJ from South Carolina on the show. Hello.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Will he be ready for a training camp?
He should be. We don't know, but I mean, he was on in the spring. He was hurt. You got 5 weeks to go, and then we'll see how he comes back. And, you know, typically, if he's ready, then the doctors will give him the clearance, and he's on that field. So, but honestly, we don't know any of that medical stuff in this room.
I like a special team.
Yep, I do too.
I have one more thing before I go. I like Damon Thompson. I hope he wins the starting free safety spot.
Darian Thompson out of Boise State, the third-round pick, who has really done well in the offseason program.
A lot of talk about him.
Thank you, AJ.
You know, I think the Spags really appreciates the position and the knowledge at that position. And someone that can come in the rookie minicamp and pick up the schemes and everything and calling out, stuff from that position. I think that Spags there's been a lot of talk about that young kid. And remember, you're a third-round draft pick. You know, third round is you can play, man, and you can come in and start as a third rounder. But we'll see. But this is another competition to look at in training camp.
All right, let's go to line three. Ravon from Virginia, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Paul and Jeff, how y'all doing today?
Wonderful. Great, how are you?
Wonderful.
Doing good. I'm kind of surprised because I try to get through to you guys often, but I haven't been lucky enough to get through twice. I was the first caller yesterday, Paul. And
I remember.
A little bit about Victor Cruz and Will Johnson.
Sure.
Right. Now, it's kind of funny. The only reason why I'm calling today is, you know, not to ask a question or anything. I want to make a statement and a comment about the caller who called after me, which was a Dallas Cowboys fan who was, you know, pleading his case for his team and everything.
And
man,
he should.
Down in this area here, there are a lot of Cowboy Eagles and Redskin fans all around me. So he came real close to putting me in New York Giant fan mode yesterday, basically. I wanted to call back in.
Is that like beast mode? Is that like beast mode?
Yeah. No, but what I want to say real quick, I don't want to hold your line up, is, you know, I want to speak some facts, and I think it needs to be said because now I have the knowledge and know that they're worried, basically. We have Cowboy, Redskin, and Eagles fans listening in the Big Blue Pickoff Live. So what I want to let them know is, man, we need to stick to the facts. I'm speaking strictly the division. We get disrespected so much. I understand, you know, last 2 years, 3 years, you know, we haven't made the playoffs. We haven't done anything last 4 years, 6-10, you know, just, you know, not doing too much of anything to be able to brag about, say anything about. But we have won the last two Super Bowls in our division. We lost the Super Bowl in 2000 to the Ravens. So we've gotten there three times before anybody else in the division has even went to the playoffs. The Dallas Cowboys have a quarterback who can't get sacked on the left or the right side because both of his shoulders are missing.
Okay.
Both of his shoulders are missing. The Redskins have a starting quarterback that the first 3 years of his career, he couldn't even get over RG3 when he was there.
All right. I'm with you.
You know, and basically, you know, I just want to put it out there. The Dallas Cowboy fans are some of the most outrageous fans in the world. I'm just going to stick on them. And basically, you know, the Super Bowls you won back when, you know, I was little and everything, that's fine. I have a daughter that's going to college this fall. And she's 18 years old. She hasn't seen the Cowboys do anything in her lifetime. So I just want to, like, you know, I like to get on here for the record. Stick to the facts. You don't have to respect us. You know, we'll come out and play and do what we're supposed to do to get our respect back. But all the phoniness with the talking this and that, and, you know, like the Redskins really did something last year because they barely won the division and, you know, so forth and so on. That stuff needs to stop. So I hope the Cowboys, Eagles, and Redskins fans out there listening, and I'm going to take this off the air. Thank you, fellas.
All right, Raven, thanks so much for calling. I will say this. Let's give Tony Romo his just due. He's an outstanding fantasy football quarterback when he can stay on the field. And also let's give Kirk Cousins his just due. He had a great year last year. Statistically speaking, it was a breakout year beyond belief. Whether or not he can repeat that remains to be seen.
Hey, they won the division.
They did win. And so, somebody had to.
Yeah.
And they stepped up and got it. Well, so give them their due. Those are the facts, too.
Rayvon, we don't have to say anything more than what you just said. That's all. We don't. We really. There's nothing else for us to say. You pretty much summed up all of it. So that's,
all right. Let's go to line one. Mark from New York. You're next on the show. Hello.
How you doing, gentlemen? Good to be on the show.
Thanks for calling.
All right. I have a couple of quick things. I know you gentlemen wasn't having this conversation with Anita Marks and Lance Meadows, but they was having this little beautiful debate about the backup quarterback, and Lance had pretty much challenged all the Giants fans out here, have you ever seen a backup quarterback leave a team, never start, and start somewhere else? Well, and I guess up to that point, he was making a great point.
Well, before you go any further, Brett Favre was a buried backup in Atlanta, got traded to Green Bay, and became a Hall of Famer. So I don't know what Lance was talking about.
Historian might have called the name. I was going to call out Matt Hasselbeck because he sat behind Brett Favre. I don't remember him starting, but I was also wondering if he was going to count that name, Matt Hasselbeck, as one of the names, because even though they left Green Bay, wasn't that the head coach that left there and went to...
Matt Hasselbeck had a hell of a career in Seattle.
Yeah. Right, but didn't...
And I mean, Indianapolis.
Offset, because I don't think that the coach and the backup quarterback went to Seattle. So I'm not sure if Lance was going to count that as a guy who went from A and went to B and had never started in his career, and he took over, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, I'm being told, Mark, to clarify, the word that I'm getting here, we're getting a lot of echo on your call, too, so I'm going to let you go. But just to clarify, our producer, Dave Dominic, is saying the question was a quarterback that was a backup for a full rookie contract of 4 years, then became a starter on a different team, which is the scenario that Ryan Nassib would have here with the Giants. I think the parameters don't make a whole lot of sense. But Matt Flynn never did anything after he left. But the point is, it's a ridiculous set of parameters to even discuss and talk about. For example, Favre didn't go through a rookie contract. He sat in Atlanta. They had nothing to do with him. Then he gets traded, and he winds up being a Hall of Famer. As I said, that was an easy one. Matt Hasselbeck's another good one, too. The parameters are ridiculous. If you want to talk about the fact that there are backup quarterbacks all over this league who are just waiting for an opportunity to start, how about a guy like Jeff Hostetler back in the 80s with the Giants, who finally got his chance to get in a game after Phil Simms got hurt and won a Super Bowl championship and then went on and played for about 10 years as a starter with the Raiders and the Redskins? I mean, the parameters of this specific comment or question just don't make sense to me, and I don't think it's worth addressing any further. Do we have time for one more? One more call? No, nobody else on the line? All right, real quick, we'll take Giants chat, see if we have anybody here. Yeah, we do, as a matter of have one. Just saying, I ain't no mediocre. How's that for a Twitter name? Wants to tell us, no question, Giants defense, nothing like it. Actually doing a response by also telling us or seeing us to Snacks Harrison, who was mentioned earlier about his Twitter prowess. Harrison was asking about the best group of defense, I guess, that you might have seen. And he was saying the Giants' 1990 defense was the fan. You know, the Giants' 90 defense was very good, but I think the 86 defense was better than the 90 defense.
You would know. I mean, I played against the 90 defense.
Yeah, they were darn good. But the 86 defense was ferocious.
Sure. Yeah, that was, you know, you had Harry Carson in there, LT.
Banks, Pepper Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Good dudes. Yeah.
George Martin and Leonard Marshall up front.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Those are household names amongst Giants fans. So
I think for sure.
I'll agree with you on the 86 just by doing those, you know, those names. But, man, they proved it. They won a world championship. So.
Yeah, yeah. All right, before we kick it out of here, Jeff, we talked about the rookie transition symposium the teams are having at each place.
And it's
good. What happens now for the next 5 weeks or so? Teams will call their guys back to camp. They'll come in. They'll have physicals. They'll run their, the gassers and the conditioning drills.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I hate.
And then the following day, they'll have practice. So for the Giants, they report on the 28th. They have their first practice on the 29th. So between now and then, besides trying to be a good soldier, what else are these guys doing? Are they really taking time off, or are they still doing the weight training and the conditioning on their own?
No, they're time off means they're not in the building. They're not, you know, in structured workouts, all that. They're definitely still, because you don't want to lose everything that you've gained up to this point. So there's a schedule. The strength coach has given them what they need to do during the 7 days of the week, and there's a little bit more rest involved in that program rather than now or previously. But it's this is the time when you're maintaining everything that you have gained up to this point. And it's a maintenance schedule. And it's also a conditioning schedule. There's going to be a lot more conditioning in there than there is going to be lifting weights, because you took care of that all in the three phases coming into this. And so now it's a maintenance. It's getting in shape and eating healthy, getting your rest, getting all your personal stuff set aside so they're getting taken care of, so that on July 28th, your mind is free and clear of what you got to do, especially for these younger guys coming into camp, trying to make this football team, putting your nose at the grindstone and heading out there and just getting after it. So that's basically, and from an organizational standpoint, not only the Giants, but all 31 other teams, you know what they're doing right now? They're just taking a deep breath and just hoping that everything can be okay, because you know what? They put a lot of trust in their players, all of them, when they leave here, all 90 of them, to go and take care of business and be that type of person that we brought you into this building to be. And that's a high-character guy, a guy that's going to stay out of trouble, that understands what to do in certain situations, and that's always important. And I believe that every one of these guys that left this building understand that. I'm sure it was told to him by Coach McAdoo that, hey, guys, you know, listen, don't do anything to jeopardize your future, and come back here and understand it. And this transition, you know, it's more important for these rookie guys, because they've never been here before, Paul. They don't know how to they don't know how to handle this type of thing.
They need the guidance.
They do. They need the guidance. And you know, David Tyree, who's the player development coordinator here with the Giants, as we all know David's name, does a wonderful job of basically, and I don't want to use this word like that's what he does, but it's the babysitting job, trying to take care of these guys and make sure they understand that, you know, this is what you got to do to be successful.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Jeff, the good news is, even though those guys get sent home for the next several weeks here at Big Blue Kickoff Live, we return each and every weekday at 12 noon Eastern Time for 1 hour of New York Giants Talk. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you next time.